This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Binks on. And then we're going to have all this. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and Mike has done it again. Another very special guest. And this guy, he's got my mind racing with thoughts from my days at Channel 2 because he was there delivering the sports while I was there doing, I don't know, I don't remember what I was doing. I was wishing I was in the sports department. But nonetheless, we have him here today. Mike will introduce him. I will introduce Mike. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Well, what's going on, Aldo? By the way, I was at Channel 2 for 2 years. I'd like to forget about that. But believe me, I'd like to forget about them. But that's just the way that that goes. But, there's nothing like severance pay. But I'll tell you what. Three CBS alum, and we'll talk about the broadcasting business with our next guest also. I've been friends with the guy for like 30 years, about 28. But I was into him way before that. He was an influence. Before I even got into radio, I used to listen to actual knowledgeable people in the 70s and 80s. He was one of them in 90s, along with Johnny Morris, one of the all-time greats, the king, as I like to call him. If he came back today, he'd still do boppo numbers even on local TV, which doesn't anymore. But him, Mike Ditka, Johnny Morris, probably the biggest show going back in the day locally. That and Bozo, I mean, let's be honest about it. It was Ditka and Bozo. That's where it went in the 80s, folks. And you wonder why we're the way we are. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring on my pal, Howard Sudbury. How are you, Howard?
Mike, I'm doing well. I love that. Ditka and Bozo, you got the right order.
Oh, my God. That would have been awesome to see. Bozo should have been a guest. But they gave away free tickets on the Ditka show, just like they did on the Bozo show, and there was a waiting list to get in and see the coach who basically, him and Bozo were the hottest tickets in town, right?
Oh, it's unbelievable, Mike. Phil Donahue, the talk show host from years
right.
ago, well-known, nationally known at that time, he did a show out of the building on CBS, and he had studio audiences, and they lined up around the building to get in to that. Ditka's line was longer. We did it on Wednesday nights, and I would come back from practice. The Bears would practice on Wednesday to get ready for Sunday's opponent, and when I'd get back there about, 5:30 or 6 o'clock, I mean, the line was all the way around the building. It was like the Jerry Springer audience. It was unbelievable. And then Coach would roll up in a foul mood, ready to go.
Yeah, that was just great TV. And I got to talk about knowledgeable Bear fans compared to non-knowledgeable Bear fans. I want to point to Bear fans that think that Mitch Trubisky is a bust. No, a bust was Cade McNown, who I happen to like, or a bust was Jamarcus Russell, or a bust was Ryan Leaf. It's my opinion that Mitch Trubisky got the rug pulled from out of him. That's fine. Foles came in. Now we're at a crossroads. But I watch quarterbacking from around the league, and there's 7-8 quarterbacks right now that aren't as good as Mitch Trubisky in the league, whether it be the Jets, the Giants, or the New England Patriots. I have the Bears sort of, kind of, Paul, basically painted themselves in the corner because, like I said after Foles brought him back from Atlanta, Howard, Foles is a relief pitcher that can get wondrous things done, but he's not necessarily a starter. Now they've made him a starter. He's the fifth team that he's starting for. Have they sort of painted themselves in a hole, or do you think if he has another good game that most of this panic that we're hearing will subside?
Well, I mean, there's a lot there you talked about, Mike. First of all, mm-hmm. is he a bust? I think the jury is still out. I mean, he, you know, they traded up to get him high in the first round. And, you know, he's in his fourth season right now. And he hasn't shown enough. He's been wildly inconsistent. He makes some great throws. He makes some poor decisions. But, you know, when you look at a quarterback, the way I always have, Mike, is that, you know, most of them, they're not very good if they don't have a good team around them. Do you remember when Steve Young was in Tampa? Not that good. And then he goes to San Francisco, and he's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Vinny Testaverde was a bust for years. But when he got out of Florida, he went up with the Browns and the Jets, and he had a couple of reasonable years. So you've got to have a decent football team around you, and I don't really think that either quarterback has had enough around him. The line, the offensive line right now is in shambles. They were getting on Foles for missing the pass to the rookie the other day that was open. Hell, you saw the isolation on it. There was a blitzer right in his face. He just threw it and ducked, and he's lucky he got it out in the direction, in the right direction of Mooney.
Let me ask you this then, because before Foles started, we heard it was all Mitch. Now all of a sudden it's the line. All of a sudden the running back isn't as good as everybody thought. Maybe the tight ends are producing, but the play calling is horrible. If anything has helped Mitch Trubisky, it's his reputation might be redeemed, because we heard everything was his fault, yet he's got, with no football team basically, a 62% passer rating, 52 touchdowns, 29 interceptions, doesn't turn the football over, and he was benched after being 2-0. So we got to come to a crossroads. It is, like you said, not the quarterback's fault only. And one quarterback can't be less blameless than the other. It's the offensive line. But let's talk about Montgomery. You watch Peyton. You watch Sayers. You watch Neil Armstrong. You watch Matt. I mean, not Neil Armstrong, excuse me. Neil Anderson. You watched a lot of guys. I have too. Raymond Harris. Does it seem to you that he is part of the problem also and not the offensive line?
Yeah, I do. I haven't seen enough out of him. It looked like there were some. I mean, you know, when Matt Forte was with the Bears a few years ago, I mean, you saw him break off some terrific runs. We haven't seen anything special out of Montgomery. So, you know, all these things have been a problem. Nick Foles, up until the game at L.A., he had made plays when he had to and put just enough points on the board to where they kept winning. But then you could point to the opponents. That's been a factor, too. So there are a lot of things at work. But, you know, as you watched it over the years, Mike, in sports, Mitch Trubisky has been cursed by his position in the draft.
Right.
By the fact that they made a trade to get him. By the fact that there are two outstanding quarterbacks that turned out to be really good that were taken after him. And all those things set the expectations so high that Chicago fans, and rightfully so, thought that if they made a move like that, they had the quarterback of the present and the future, and that they were on their way. If you think, if the Bears had an outstanding quarterback right now, even with this poor offense, with the defense, you'd be looking at a playoff contender and a heck of a football team.
I'm looking to Trubisky to go to New England or some team next year that needs a quarterback, and to make the playoffs one of these days, real soon, because he's a playoff quarterback, a Pro Bowl quarterback. We'll see what happens. Nick Foles, if Nagy's not going to get off him right now, and he's also not going to get off the play calling. So he's got his whole investment into Nick Foles here and the football team that he and Ryan Pace have built, and they got a couple tough games coming up. The next 2 weeks are absolutely huge, and I think they're huge for Matt Nagy. Because Matt Nagy, whatever we think of Trubisky or not, yesterday on the NFL Network, or it's on Twitter now, that now Kay Adams and others are thinking, well, you know, Trubisky did throw that interception, but he was 2-0, and he had no leash, not even a short leash. And Nagy couldn't wait to get to this guy. And now this guy looks like he may be, okay. Don't forget Mike Glennon. They're considering Mike Glennon to beat out Minshew now, to bench Minshew for Mike Glennon. And Minshew beat out Nick Foles. Now, it's either Jacksonville or some of these guys or none of these guys can play, Howard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, going back to Nagy for a second, I think it was huge for a head coach in the NFL. I think it shows a lot about him that he admitted that he's looking at the play calling, and maybe that's a problem or one of the problems. So that indicates to me that, you know, if he thinks that they need to change it up, I think that he will. So that's a positive. But, you know, Foles, he is what he is. He's a statue back there. Trubisky mm-hmm. is mobile. He had that fantastic run earlier this year. You know, but Trubisky, you know, I think that Nagy had scar tissue with this guy from last year. You know, when they get on a roll and then all of a sudden he makes a terrible interception and I have questions about him.
But you agree he had no leash. They waited for him to make that one big mistake, and that was the end of him. And after all, he does have a winning record in the league with the Bears at 26-18. So we're not talking about a guy that the nonsense that he's a bust. That's ridiculous, because I think he'll have more than one suitor if the Bears let him go next year.
I think you will, too. I think you always would. Somebody's going to take a chance with somebody that was drafted that high, and he was highly regarded by all the scouts, not just Pace. So, he had a short leash because Nagy, like I said, he'd seen enough. He was frustrated. He thought he wasn't the answer. So he goes to the bullpen.
Well, we'll see what happens. If they end up not making the playoffs and he sticks with Foles all year and he does the play calling, him getting fired would not be out of the realm of my possibility at the end of the year. I don't care what his record is as a winner. But then again, you look at what many of these people are saying, questioning Nagy, even myself. I didn't have them winning only three games, but there are national publications that had the Bears only winning three games. So in Nagy's defense, in Pace's defense, their wrong move might have been to get off the one quarterback maybe a little bit too quick, but the other quarterback did produce for a while. In their defense, they have a winning record, and they're a half game out of first place.
Yeah, well, I was never on, in the camp that had them winning three games because the defense was too damn good. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got an outstanding defense.
Right.
That's going to keep
you
in. I'd
say 7-8-9 wins was average, what everybody was picking, 7-8-9.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's where they might wind up. You were talking about a tough game coming up. I'm not sure about the Saints anymore, especially when you get them out of the dome on grass. Breeze has been shaky at times. His better years are behind him, so... I think the Bears will keep the game close. I wouldn't be shocked. What's the spread, by the way?
You know, I haven't even looked at it, but I'll look at it right now because I know you value listening to the spread of the games because you guys used to talk about it. NFL betting odds. Here it is for you, my friend.
Oh, sure.
The spread for the Chicago Bears
New Orleans
coming up.
By two.
New Orleans by two?
Yeah, okay. That's my guess.
And they didn't have their two receivers last week. And Breece is still dangerous, man. But, yeah, you could fluster him, too. You got to get a hand in his face. He looks for the lanes. But, yeah, I could see the Bears beating him. They beat Tom Brady.
Right. They did. And I think that Tampa is better than New Orleans, even though New Orleans beat them in the first game. But that was down in that dome. They're tough down there.
Yeah, they are tough down there. There's no doubt about it. I'll give you a team that had a guy like Trubisky that everybody was saying didn't measure up. You know, Aldo and we've talked about quarterbacks like you did with Steve Young and others. This guy was a bum. Ask anybody, and he had decent numbers, but they said he was a bust. Ryan Tannehill. That's what's going to happen to Mitch Trubisky. I'm telling everybody, if he goes to an organization that actually knows maybe what they're doing at the quarterback position. I mean, it's not far-fetched because Ryan Tannehill, where did we all have him 2 years ago, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see it all over the place. He could be somebody like that. You get him on the right football team with the right coaching. And, you know, I don't think that he's a complete bust yet. But he has, you know, the jury's out. Like I said, he's in year four. But he hasn't been on very good football teams. Then don't underestimate what that means. That means so much.
You're right. I mean, when you brought up Steve Young at Tampa and then he goes over there to San Francisco, he became even New England. It took Jim Plunkett years. And he finally got to a decent football team in Oakland after being with New England and San Francisco. He was a complete bust. So there's a lot of people or quarterbacks that have that had that opportunity. Speaking of, let's talk some TV. Okay. I said earlier that Bear fans were more knowledgeable then than they are now, and believe me, I believe that with my whole heart and soul. I think the coverage of the Bears was more honest back then. I don't think that the NFL had as much complete control, as they do now, where, you know, cameras aren't allowed. There is social media, but you can't get Bears stuff. Would you agree with that assessment, or do you think it's about the same as it was when you and Johnny were doing it compared to the way it is now?
Well, I don't watch as much coverage now in the pregame and postgame as when I was involved in it back then. But I think that you have more cheerleading now because the Bears control a lot of the media and the shows. The other shows can't, if they're not controlled by the Bears, can't even say Chicago Bears. So, you know, they control it so much. So, you know, those guys have to walk the line. It was completely honest back when we did it because we could say whatever we wanted. We just had to face Ditka. If we said something
that
we didn't like.
Well, you know what's funny is I had the same situation when I did the Ditka show on radio with them. And, you know, I told him, you don't faze me. So if you want to get mad, you get mad or anything like that. My dad's as nuts as you are. So you just go at it. And we got along great. A good guy, an attraction. Helped make the score. And that's another thing I want to go to. The radio back then was ripe for honesty. And that's why we made it. And at the time, folks, I used to cross promote. And what I would do is, if I needed a co-host, let's say Jiggs was off on vacation, I'd bring in a Joan Esposito, I'd bring in a Howard Sudbury, I'd bring in the TV people because the TV people, for the most part, were the stars in town. It's not like that anymore. But Howard co-hosted with me many times. Howard was one, I would think you'd agree with this, Howard, of the few electronic media folks or print or that weren't crapping the bed because of the score. You actually bought into it early and used the score, just like the score used you guys to promote.
Oh, yeah. There was no need to look at the score like it was a competition or something like that. I mean, you know, when we had a chance to go on and be guests, it was a chance to promote ourselves. And the score was a great source. First of all, during the day, you'd have a chance to hear what was on the fans' minds. And, you know, you had really good reporters that would, you know, break stories. So it was a great source. I mean, the TV stations, they get all their information, and we always did, although we were out covering things too. But, you know, you'd read the papers in the morning, and you would see what was going on talk radio. So you had all day to compile what you were going to put on the air that night. So the score was a great resource. It was another resource. Anything that's information, if you don't listen to it, then you're an idiot.
Right, and I was with you on that, but you know this well as I do. The elite, I like to call sports media or what have you back in the day, had a burner saddle over us, and they didn't understand it. You know, it meant more jobs, meant more of everything, but they just felt threatened for some reason. Even some big-time people that you'd be shocked to hear. I know, and Howard knows some of them too. It is one of the more crazy businesses when it comes to let's play like a team, but I'm hoping the guy in front of me stumbles so I can get his gig. It's a vicious business no matter what. Except with certain situations like me and Jiggs or with you and Johnny, you know, where you guys were like a team, which I always considered you guys a team, or like me and Jiggs or Boers and McNeil.
Yeah, well, you know, in TV or radio or any kind of media, you've got a lot of egos, obviously, and you've got a lot of people that are unbelievably, they have ego, but on the other hand, they're tremendously insecure. So that combination is dangerous. So, you know, people that, you know, they say that they're your friend or something like that, you know that they were waiting for you to fall down so they could get fired and try to apply for your job. I mean, that's the way the business is. But
that's right.
If you don't have a thick skin, man, don't get into this business.
Oh, baby, if you don't, and sometimes you don't know you. Sometimes you better acquire that thick skin fast, folks. That's what I want to talk about when it comes to Ditka. Ditka and I had many. I mean, Ditka didn't talk to me once for a year. That's when he said he didn't. That's when he said he didn't give the care if the Saints beat the Bears after he had been let go by the Saints, or when the Saints were playing the Bears and he was analyzing. So I got everybody revved up and I told everybody to call his restaurant and bitch and moan. So I left the number. And Ditka didn't talk to me for a year, but for the most part, we still have a great relationship. Tell us a couple good stories. I know for more than one show with us, he was lit up a little bit. I know with you guys, for sure, there's famous stuff with him lit up. But give us a couple maybe that we don't know, or maybe some that the people, for the most part, don't know, Howard.
Well, you know, originally, the Ditka show, he came on live at 10:30 to do the wrap-up. So that's when he would have a few pops. He'd go over to the restaurant, and he liked his wine, and he would come in. And then when he got arrested, when they were coming back from San Francisco that time,
right.
picture on the back page of the Sun-Times of him on Channel 2 with his hair hanging down, and he's leaning on one elbow, and the eyes are sunk in the head. And I forgot what the headline was, but it wasn't flattering. So we go to practice the next day, and Chuck Davidson and I and my cameraman. I always
Chuck,
use Chuck.
Chuck, I love Chuck Davidson.
Yeah, well, I'm a coward. I used him for cover. I'd send Chuck out first so Dicka would see him, and he would take the brunt of his anger. He would cuss
That's
Chuck
great,
out, and
Chuck
I'd
Davidson's
walk out.
One of the great cameramen. Folks, for people that, you know, this is more inside TV, but one of the great guys who was, he was not fearful because he didn't think he'd ever be the target. But, I mean, I sent Jen Patterson, my producer, we were at a golf outing and Ditka was there. I said, go get Ditka. He said stuff to her. I mean, my God, you know what I mean? So,
Well, Chuck's got a lot of shrapnel, I can tell you. But anyway, that day we walked out in practice. Well, Ditka thought, because that picture was a screenshot from Channel 2 that night, he thought that we gave that to them. So, I mean, he called me and Chuck every name in the book and cussed us out. We told him we didn't have anything to do with it and what have you. So that led to him then taping his segment for the 10:30 show late in the afternoon or at 6:30 before he went to dinner.
Yeah.
So
when I've been to dinner with him a couple of times. He's not the same man
he could put it away.
Oh, no, the coach, he could do a vat. He could do vats of liquor and keep rolling. But, I mean, basically, he could do vats of liquor and then come on. I mean, there was the famous one is with Johnny when he's not even dressed and he's got a towel wrapped around him and, you know, looks like he was getting ready to take a shower. And that's famous because Johnny Morris, folks, I'm going to just tell everybody this. I know the history. I saw him play. He became a friend. He's Howard's best friend, probably, right, Howard, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
He could beat the crap out of 90% of the people that wanted to. Even now, I wouldn't mess with Johnny Morris. So Johnny Morris didn't back down to Ditka at all, ever, did he?
No, and he had no need to. He had Ditka's respect because he played with him, and he knew that Ditka knew that he was knowledgeable. But Ditka would have, you know, one thing that I remember is on the 10:30 show when he was still having a few pops, they're showing the highlights and what have you, and Cap Bozo, the tight end, makes a play.
Yeah.
And Johnny says, and here's Cap Bozo, a nice game. And Ditka says, and he slurs it, Cap Bozo, that's a funny name. And I'll never forget that sentence. That's the kind of stuff he used to say. But Ditka, you know, the thing with Johnny, and Ditka not having his pants on, having the towel wrapped around him.
He didn't want to do it, right?
Yes, that was a post-game show.
Right.
Live. Channel 2 was making all this money. The ratings were unbelievable, dumping out of the Bears game. You know, TV wasn't all divided up back then. Everybody was watching, you know, CBS, ABC, and NBC, and everybody's watching the Bears game. And then they go into the post-game show so they could hear Ditka live. We weren't CBS wasn't paying him. He knew they were making all this money. So our producer went in to get him. All right, Mike, can you go on? No, I'm not going on. Damn it, I'm not going on. We're going to talk about the same bullshit that we're going to talk about tonight at 10:30. I'm not doing it. And Bob, our producer, said, come on, Mike. No, I'm not doing it. And finally, all right, I'll do it. He walks out there, and that's when Johnny lights into him. We got a live show to do here. What are you doing hemming and hawing around? And he just lit into him, and Mike finally just sat there like a puppy dog and said, okay, I'm sorry, John, I'm doing it. I'm doing the show.
And that's great.
That's when Johnny.
Johnny Morris made $1 million when $1 million was $10 million.
Yeah, come on. Yeah,
he was the king.
And they came to Johnny then after they'd gone at it there, and I'm watching. I'm in the studio watching all this live, and you know, listening to it as I'm talking, doing other highlights. But Johnny comes out. They come to him, and he gets a smile on his big smile on his face, and says, "All right, with a happy Mike Ditka."
Yeah, that was great. By the way, Johnny Morris, folks, number 47, ran the 100 in like 9.2, okay? He's one of the fastest men to ever, back in the day, run. And a track star. I mean, I know everything about Johnny. It's almost, but I knew about all the Bears. Then became the first $1 million sports anchor, and deservedly so. He was part of that team. They always talk about Jacobson and Curtis. They never talk about the other people in that on that ensemble. Believe me, because I didn't tune in to listen to Walter's perspective. That's just me. It was good, but you had guys like Johnny Morris do it. And Johnny Morris today, I mean, he had 93, 94 catches, Howard, in the 60s in one season. He'd have 100 every year, in my opinion, with the rules. I mean, I'm seeing guys like Cole Beasley put up big numbers now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he had the NFL record for years, and then I think it was finally broken in the late 80s by Art Monk of the Washington football team, as we call them. But,
well, the horses are still in your heart, are they not, my friend? You guys still pick the horses?
I love the horses. It's an unbelievable hobby. If you learn how to handicap, you can really give yourself a fighting chance. And the great thing about it is you can bet 20 or $50 on a horse race, and if you get it right, the odds are unbelievable. You'd make $2,000-$4,000 on it. So, you know, getting it right is the object. If you play 9 races in a day, if you get 2 or 3 of them right, you can have a great day. So it's great trying to figure it out. It's great watching the race. It's so exciting, and it's over in 2 minutes. And if you don't get it right, you flip the page and you go to the next race.
You're not losing a football game 43-10 at halftime in a college football game, you know, or something like that. You got an absolute shot. Hey, we got our buddy Aldo Gandia, another CBS alum, coming on here. Aldo, I'm sure you got some stuff to talk to about Howard.
Yes, absolutely. And I got to tell you, I remember I was at Channel 2 that day of that Bears game where Johnny and Mike had that row. And I was watching that closed circuit feed, which the audience at home can't see. It's before they go live. But at the station, if you turn on the certain channel, you could see that closed circuit feed. So I'm in my office watching this. And it's definitely a tense moment between these two. And like Howard said, when the red light went on, Johnny turned to the camera with a great big smile as if nothing happened. You talk about a true professional and a great moment that unfortunately fans haven't seen. And I've actually looked for that video on YouTube to see if I can find it, because I'd love to share it with people just as homage to Johnny Morris. But I have yet to find it. Maybe Bob Vassilopoulos has it hidden in a... in a drawer.
Bobby Vassilopoulos, another blast from the past. I love it, baby. Bobby was one of the best, too.
Oh, Bobby was unbelievably aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one that went in to get Ditka and would drag the players and Ditka out there. So he wasn't going to take no for an answer.
Yeah.
And Ditka wouldn't back down from him. But, you know, that's the thing about Ditka anyway. As you know, his bark was worse than his bite.
Yeah.
He would bark at you. And he'd cuss at me up at House Hall, And then I'd see him in the hallway a little bit later on in the afternoon, and he'd say, "Hey, kid, how you doing?" And that meant everything's okay. You know, and you knew everything was okay because he had enough respect for us to know that we weren't cheap shot artists.
All right. I got three things for you, Howard. Number one is this just broke. Adam Schefter is tweeting out that Adam Shaheen, the former second-round draft pick for the Chicago Bears, he has just signed a two-year extension with the Dolphins for a maximum value of $7.85 million. $3.2 million is guaranteed. Is this an indictment of how the Chicago Bears develop or fail to develop their players, Howard?
Yes, no doubt about it. And good for Adam Shaheen cashing in down there. But, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the development of players, the coaching of players hasn't been very good. They don't utilize them properly. There's been all kinds of problems. And you know what I can't figure out is that it goes from coach to coach to coach. It doesn't change. Mm. Why? I don't understand. What happens them when they get here?
Right.
Well, you know what? I even watched Trevathan. I'm not a fan. He made a couple plays, but I watched Kwiatkowski out there in Oakland. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How do we make that move? I mean, I'm watching him last week. I'm going, he's everywhere. I'm going, and I saw that with the Bears. So you're right, Howard. The same front office. Well, Pace Nagy, but you know the hierarchy's still there, you know.
Well, they are, and they've obviously selected the wrong people. I think right now that Pace has been a bigger problem and is more vulnerable than Nagy. I think Nagy could be a pretty good football coach, but they both might go.
Yep, that's definitely true. All right, I looked up the odds for the Bears-Saints game, and so I'd love your opinion, and Mike's, of course, on this. It's the Saints are giving 4 points. The money line is -198 for Saints, +175 for the Bears, and the over-under is 43.5. If you were to advise me on, put $10 on this, which one of those three things would you think I should invest in?
I like the Bears getting 4 is what I like. And I, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they won the football game.
Yeah.
I think the defense will keep them in it. And, up until last week, the Bears offense looks terrible most of the game, but then all of a sudden they make a couple plays. They get in the end zone, they score 20 points, and they end up winning 20-17.
Yeah. You know why? Because Howard's right. What's the over-under in that game?
43.5.
With Drew Brees?
Yeah, that's
it's
the...
It's usually in the 50s, for God's sake.
Yes.
48, 49. So we have a struggling offense in Chicago, and you have a great defense in Chicago. You have a New Orleans type of quarterback in Drew Brees that is stationary, and I like what Howard's saying. I would take the under. With Drew Brees, you're terrified to take the under. But see, then you got to see who's on the other side. And Howard's right. The defense is strong, Aldo. They've been playing good football.
Well, absolutely. And here's an interesting thing. This is why I don't bet heavy money, because it just worries the hell out of me. I read this. Mm-hmm. The points total average for the Saints games this year is 59. That's 14.5 points higher than the over-under for this matchup. And then the next bullet point, the Bears games average 39 total points. That's 5 points fewer than the total for this matchup. So you're like torn. What should I do?
Well, you'd figure they'd go to 49 between the two of them, right, Howard? But they haven't. They've gone lower than that. So that tells you how good the Bear defense really, really is, I think. And New Orleans isn't chopped liver. They aren't.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's, a 23-20 game, and you're at the over-under.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take much to get there. You get a special teams play, and, over-unders are so hard. Well, they're all hard. Mm-hmm. But I like the Bears getting the 4 points. People aren't expecting anything because the last thing they saw wasn't good. But like I said, New Orleans, they don't travel well. You get them outside of that dome, the Bears defense is going to give Brees fits, I think. And I think that they'll cover. I think they could win the game. But to me, it's going to be like 17-16, 2017, right in there, something like that.
You know, you brought up Bear Weather guys, and I remember Otis Wilson. I saw Otis Wilson, and he goes, North, like N-A-R-F. Hey, North, how you doing? I go, Bear Weather, Otis. He goes, I'm freezing.
Yeah.
He's from Louisville.
Didn't like the weather.
Yeah. No!
But, you know, the weather's on your side when you got a defense, you know, back in the 80s that as soon as the offense scores 6 points, the game's over.
Yeah.
Two field
yeah.
goals. It's over.
Yeah. All right, last question for you, Howard, that I have is tell us about this podcast with you,
yes.
Steve Baskerville, and Alyssa Ali called Back to You.
Yeah, it started because Steve and I have been friends for 35 years, and we have always talked on the phone for, you know, an hour at a time, several times a week, like a couple junior high kids, and we make each other laugh, so... You know, when podcasting came along and the opportunity came along, we said, what the hell? Let's just put it on the air. And, you know, it's no holds barred, whatever the hell we want to talk about, whatever's on our mind. And you're open, Mike. You're talking about, you know, not preparing or anything. I hear guys doing their podcast, talk about their show prep and all this stuff. You know, if I got a guest coming on, I'll do a little research. But we just let it fly. We just go from one thing to the other. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been as fun as anything that I've done in broadcasting.
Cool.
It's pretty competitive
I feel
world.
The same
I think
way with, I tell Eldo that. I work at ESPN 1000, but I also tell Eldo, I mean, Bear's Barroom, to work on a podcast, and you have that freedom. By the way, Howard, before we let you go, you're from Cleveland, are you not?
No, I'm from Illinois. Are
you, originally?
I worked in Cleveland. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. You came from Cleveland.
Yeah, I worked in Cleveland. My mom, I grew up downstate, but my mom
okay.
is from the south side of Chicago. My grandparents were on the south side, so I was here all the time. Half my family was up here. So,
cool.
Well,
that's
Chicago,
my mistake.
I
you know what, you're right. Were you working in Cleveland when the infamous Danny Green was blowing up cars back in the day, the gangster?
No, I wasn't. I was there. At the for the famous 1982 Brian Seip interception against the Oakland Raiders.
Oh,
you remember that?
Oh, God.
Sure.
Oh, God. That's it. I mean, Cleveland is just dotted with John Elway. I mean, whenever I think of opponents that ruined certain people, like Marty Schottenheimer, who's a great coach, guy, you know, the
he
guy
was.
Goes 14-2 and gets fired, for God's sake. But I'm talking about John Elway was always the guy. Howard, appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah,
okay,
Howard, where
fun,
can
guys.
Howard, where can I'm sorry, Howard, where can we follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, at Howard Sudbury, right?
At Howard Sudbury.
Perfect.
Beautiful, my friend. Howard.
All right, guys.
We'll talk soon, man, okay?
Talk to you. Give me a call.
You got it, buddy. That's Howard Sudbury, my pal, who I met originally at the 1993 Celebrity Chicago Bulls Shootout. And he made it to the semis. I didn't really want to bring it up. It wasn't pretty fun. As I walked away with the trophy and half of the media puked into bags going, this rat won. I could feel the tension. You could cut it with a knife. Eldo, he was great. Goes back to Ditka. Has seen it. You know, should we get my one pick out of the way? Because I was 0-2 last week. I only got one pick for tonight. 10-9, ladies and gentlemen. Since we started making the picks at the beginning of the NFL football season. Are you ready, Al?
I am ready.
Let's go! There it is. That music, I miss it. You know, there's not much going on. I'm sure we'll discuss the World Series and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We'll discuss more Bears. But I'm going to stick with one game because it's glaring. Tomorrow night, one game, one total. Colorado State is playing Fresno State. Now, Colorado State has not played yet, okay, because of the Pac-12. They were dumber than the Big Ten. They haven't played yet. They're -1.5. Fresno State got their brains beat in by Hawaii. Hawaii made the trip over, which they were jet-lagged and still beat the crap out of them. That being said, I saw the total 59, figured everything in, take the over. 59 in the Colorado State-Fresno State game. We'll go up 11 to 9. We'll have a little bit more of a cushion. We treat it like a business. Some days, I had won five out of my last six until I hit 0-2, so 5-3. 6-4 the last couple weeks on ESPN 1000 after going 2-3 this past week. So things are coming around, ladies and gentlemen. Eldo, back to you.
Good stuff, Mike. Colorado State, that's a 9 p.m. game.
Oh, that's right up your alley. You're thinking of putting a fortune down on that.
Absolutely.
Not. It's something to do tomorrow night. There's no sports again.
Yeah. Yes.
There's something tonight, right?
We've gotten back to that. You are absolutely right. It's now the NFL and Netflix.
That's it. And to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the 65th time. That's it.
That's right.
I know the lines by heart now.
I love that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie about Los Angeles during the, quite frankly, when Los Angeles was a dream factory, man. It was beautiful.
Yep, indeed. Yep. And great acting by Brad Pitt. I don't know if he won an Oscar. Yeah, I think he won an Oscar for that.
He won the Oscar, but I got to be honest with you. I thought at first I didn't appreciate DiCaprio, but now I'm watching in that movie. He plays like 3-4 different people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was fantastic, too. Great. Yeah, and Brad Pitt finally got his Oscar. He plays himself. I mean, Brad Pitt just knows how to do it. Play himself, be cool doing it, and got to have the looks. He came in shape, you know. He's 50-some years old.
Yep.
Looked like he was in shape, you know what I mean? So it was great. And the scene with Bruce Lee is just one of the best.
Oh, my gosh. That is if anyone who is listening to this has not seen that movie, because, it's too long. I don't like Tarantino movies. Here, do yourself a favor and just go to the scene with Brad Pitt playing his character and somebody playing the character of Bruce Lee, the famous martial arts. Just watching that scene is so excellent. It really is cool.
I got my favorite in the whole picture, though, is, and for folks that haven't seen it, I apologize, but you'll remember when I say it. I'm the devil, and I'm here to do the devil's business. And Brad Pitt goes, no, I was dumber than that.
That is great. Good stuff.
So where are we at? All right, my friend.
I want to talk to you about somebody who's very dear to you, Cole Kmet. And
yes.
Coach Nagy was asked, after the game, why isn't this guy seeing more playing time? He seems to be playing well. And then Nagy's response was, yeah, we have to do that. And then that was followed up with yesterday's press conference, which allows the coach to look at the film and so forth. And so that topic of Cole Kmet's playing time was brought up again. And this is what Coach Nagy said.
That you saw yesterday, he's making plays. And there's a trust element there I think you're starting to really see, and it's growing. And when you have a ball thrown your way, when you're absolutely covered and you make a play, that's neat to see. So that's why last night when I said that, there's emotions involved there because you feel that. But at the same time, Cole has done everything we've asked.
All right,
and that's enough. It's no hidden secret.
That guy, that ain't talking about my cousin, for Christ's sake, that's number right, one. Number two. Right. He forgets about him. And who puts 86 in? Okay?
Yeah, Demetrius Harris.
Seriously, I'm not a fan. When I saw that drop and he went back, then they put him back in. He shouldn't see the field. And here's what they're talking about with Nagy calling the plays. When you're calling the plays, that's one thing. But you're forgetting certain players that you should probably have in if you're going to call some of those plays.
Right.
You know, if you're going to call a tight end rub off with a wide receiver, you've got to have Cole Kmet in there. You don't have to have 86 in there. Who's your draft pick? Who's the stud? Who's the kid that when he gets there, you have two passes to him early, and then you never see him again?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He
Ridiculous.
Is. He is a guy that from the very beginning, the Chicago Bears organization was touting. Cole Kmet is going to do this. We just drafted Cole Kmet. He can do this. He can do this. He can do this. Then during the Zoom meetings, off-season stuff, Cole Kmet is picking up this offense like no other rookie we've ever seen before. He's asking the right questions. He seems to know the entire playbook from A to Z. And then the season starts. Where the hell is Cole Kmet? Where the hell is he? And then when you do see him, with the exception of one play, when you do see him, he's making plays. He is making plays. And the fact that Matt Nagy is 6-7 weeks into the season is saying, yeah, we probably should get him some more playing time. That,
and he said it last week, too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
it
what are you
just
doing?
The other day, folks, I keep track. The kid's family. I keep track. He said it last week. We got to get to him more. And they get him a pass or two, one of which was a horrible pass. And he just comes down with it, goes and gets it. That alone tells me, if I'm the head coach, I say, all right, I'm calling the plays, but make sure Kmet's in 80% of the snaps.
Yes.
Not 10.
Right. He plays the same position, that same tight end position. I think it's called the Y position, as Demetrius Harris. And yet, there's Demetrius Harris getting as many snaps as Cole Kmet and seeing more passes thrown his way than Cole Kmet. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, and here's another thing. And look, I'm not a Montgomery guy, never have been. I don't think he's ever going to be much. But you can't run him up the middle against Aaron Donald. You can't. You can't. He doesn't have that burst once he gets through anyway. Mm-hmm. But, man, just to get through that.
Right.
I mean, don't game plan and make it easy on the Rams. Mm-hmm. Give him a pitch out. Give him a pitch out where he can either run or throw. Give him some creativity. Help the guy out a little bit. I'm not saying he's any good, damn good, but help him a little, especially with that line.
Yeah. And Nick Foles talked about the offensive line. What do you think about this whole brouhaha with the ESPN announcer late in the game sharing with the national TV audience that Nick Foles told him that Matt Nagy is calling some plays out there that aren't helping me. I've got no protection for some of the plays that he's calling, and I'm the one getting hit. Do you think that Greasy – well, first of all, Greg Gabriel thinks that Greasy may have made that up or embellished it. And secondly, why save that information for late in the game when you've already seen Nick Foles get 20 hits? Wouldn't that be something you would share after the first time Nick Foles was down? Kind of weird, right?
Yeah, I'll say, you know, and here's what I told everybody. This was the best kept secret in America last year.
Mm-hmm.
For people that don't listen to Aldo and I in the bar room, I said, why aren't we talking about last year in Jacksonville when he had no offensive line? And he got beat out by a 1970s-type-looking guy twice. He got hurt the first time, came back, and got beat out again. They had no line there. I have said frequently that his best-case scenario was in Philly, where he had a great offensive line. He's basically a statue. We have now a taller-type Eli Manning-type of player in this generation. When we got a quarterback that's capable of rushing for 40 or 50 yards in Mitch Trubisky, and I think with this line, people are asking, around the nation, and I asked originally, I said, Foles has no escapability. Mitch does, and he covered up a lot of the ills and still put together a good resume. So we'll see what happens down the line. They're staying with Foles. If they win this week, then it's all forgotten, wouldn't you say, Aldo, no matter what?
Yeah. I agree with Howard in that I think the Bears can pull this game off against the Saints, but it's going to be interesting to see what the Saints do with their defense, because the Rams...
I blitz Foles.
Right?
I would blitz them in passing situations, man.
And you may not even need to blitz them because the offensive line doesn't win one-on-one battles. So that's going to be an interesting thing.
You know what I'd like to find out? How they do against the defense during the week when they practice.
That's right.
I mean, really, we can't get any film of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a hell of a defense, although it's undisciplined. And Akeem Hicks leads the league in penalties
that's
on
bad.
Defense.
Right.
He's he's got to get right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got to get right as far as his head.
Right.
You can't be getting called for movement and all this offsides, you know, and all this garbage when you're trying to beat good teams.
Yeah. He definitely, I believe that this entire defense, although they have not said anything publicly, they haven't even alluded to it, but I think that they're starting to get a little frustrated. I mean, you look back at all of the points that the Rams scored, the touchdown, the field goal, the touchdown, the touchdown. They did it after the Bears went 3 and out on offense, with the exception of one scoring play, which happened after a Bears interception. So every time the Bears offense has played disgustingly, the defense has come out, and their performance to me says, these motherfuckers, they won't give us a break. They won't let us rest.
Right.
You know, and I think that is starting to show on this team, and that's why I'm worried, and this Saints game is going to be a good barometer to see if the team has quit or not.
Well, first of all, Nagy's going to get out-coached.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're asking me, I mean, he got out-coached this past week.
Oh, yeah.
Now you got Sean Payton, mm-hmm. Okay? And you're right about the defense. I mean, I looked at my dog while the Bears were playing. His tongue was hanging out just like Eddie Jackson. Okay? And he wasn't even playing. He was just watching the Bears. And he's, I go, would you quit it? You know? Eddie Jackson's tongue was hanging out. Fuller's tongue was hanging out. You know? I mean, seriously.
Those poor guys.
So, you got to give him a break. This is a big-time deal for Foles, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if he lays another egg, you might as well go with the hope.
Mm-hmm.
That go with the 25-year-old at least, not the 31-year-old that ain't getting it done. I mean, you got to go back. I mean, you still got a shot. If you're the defense and you're losing games with the current quarterback and you lose next week, I'm telling you, there's going to start to be a little split in the locker room, especially although, like you say, the defense didn't deserve the punishment that they got this past week.
Yeah. Mike, I did not, I have to admit, I'm a bad co-host, I'm a bad wingman. I did not watch that final game of the World Series last night. And so I go online to find out, you know, the Dodgers won, you know, to get some information. And all I'm seeing is these headlines of the Tampa Bay Rays pitcher being upset because he was lifted after, I think, what, 3, 4, 5 innings in, and he was pitching
a super. He got lifted after 5 1/3. Let me tell everybody what
Please.
Happened.
Please.
This is where the White Sox want to head with A.J. Hinch. Not only do they want to bring in the guy that, in honor of the 102-year anniversary, or 103-year anniversary, oh no, 101-year anniversary of the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
Right.
We will now hire the guy that fixed the 2017 World Series. If what I'm hearing might happen, all I'm saying, it's a huge mistake. You can't have integrity as an organization when you have the lead dog as the guy to fix the World Series, and somebody wants to give him something bad to keep his mouth shut. Because I think there's more to this story. You know, the players got immunity, but I think there's other teams involved. And, you know, you got Alex Cora and A.J. If A.J. Hinch is the only manager that you can find with Bruce Bochy out there and other guys, shame on the White Sox. And last night, analytics killed the Tampa Bay Rays as after 73 pitches, Cash went out there and pulled a stud. Pulled him. And that was the end of that. And it all went by analytics, not by feel, not by gut. I mean, he would have pulled Bob Gibson. He would have pulled Colfax if the analytics were in play. And I will say one more thing about A.J. Hinch. Who the White Sox hires their business, but it's going to be a sad day when a lot of White Sox fans disassociate themselves with a team that hired a man that did what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this. If A.J. Hinch is all that and was into analytics, like somebody asked on Twitter this morning, why did he have to cheat? That's the point. And that's going to be – it's going to be interesting if he gets hired. I know. I think Tony La Russa has been a smokescreen, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, but what we saw yesterday. say is a manager that didn't manage. He went by computer, and all I've been hearing is a bunch of baseball nerds for years talking about the computer with analytics, and last night was an example of why heart and guts mean more.
Yeah, Mike, you know Jerry Reinsdorf. He's a friend of yours. You've had dinner with him a number of times. You've talked to him dozens of times. Do you think that Jerry Reinsdorf said to Rick Hahn, the guy in charge of hiring the best, the next manager, do you think that he may have said, listen, do me a favor and talk to La Russa about the job? And he's doing that mostly just to placate. How about that for a word? Placate. Where'd I get that word?
And also maybe they know they want to hire Hinch, but they're putting La Russa out there first.
Right.
You can't hire that guy. Mm-hmm. Or Cora. They should have been banned for life.
Yeah.
For what they did. One of them did it in for Boston, too.
Right.
Cora. I mean, come on. The White Sox are better than this. But then again, I know a lot of people that work for the White Sox. I'm not going to mention names. But some of them, I mean, Integrity, that would be the name of a nightclub. Okay?
That's right.
Not what they have. I'm just telling you. So, yeah. You know what? If that happens, you will see defections.
Yeah.
Not the wholesale. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why you have to hire the... You're going to hire the guy to fix the World Series.
That would be awful. That's just
and how
awful.
Are you going to talk to White Sox young players? You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You should watch yourself here. What? Wait a minute. You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. You don't want me to juice, but you cheated.
Right. Well, maybe what they would do then
is... And Ozzie can't get an interview?
Oh, gosh.
That's pathetic.
Maybe what they it would be a part of a whole marketing plan. You have this cheater as your manager, and then you have Al Capone bobblehead day. You have Bugsy Malone trading cards and stuff
that. Look, it's their business who they hire. It is, but I'm just telling you, I'm flabbergasted. That is, and the media is pushing it. Why?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Why? Why do we have certain people whose integrity or whose characters? Being questioned doing national baseball games, mm-hmm. pregame shows. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pete Rose couldn't get in the Hall of Fame, but they had him on Fox.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And others. I mean, so come on. It's crazy, man.
It is. All right.
I will probably become a Cub fan.
Oh, look at this. Breaking news.
No doubt about it. If they do that, I'm not going to come on.
Well,
I wish them all the luck in the world, but, you know, they're... That's where I draw the line. They've been alienating the fans for years in a lot of ways, and this would be the final straw, man. Come on.
I don't think it's going to happen.
You've got to do it right.
Yeah,
What are you going to tell the kids? Boy, he's a great manager. How did he get the job? Well, he cheated, Jimmy. He fixed the 2017 World Series, and look where he's at today.
That's right. You would never look at a garbage can at Comiskey Park or Guaranteed Rate Field, you would never look at one without thinking, uh-oh, why did they bring that in?
You know what? I will just tell everybody now, I'm not going to name any names. When you hear certain writers or certain hosts, TV, radio, if they like the move, also check out if they work for Jerry Reinsdorf in other capacities.
Yeah.
Okay?
There you go.
Because... if you like that move over Bruce Bochy, over Sandy Alomar Jr.,
Ozzie?
Over a lot of guys,
yeah,
okay, then you're just carrying water for something that shouldn't even be happening. He should not even be eligible.
Yeah. All right. I want to share with you Bob Nightingale, the longtime baseball writer who's over at the USA Today. He just posted up on Twitter the odds to win the 2021 World Series. And so I want to go through some of these odds for you. And then,
right.
You know how you, when you
I
do.
Love that.
Yeah. You know when you know when you do your golf picks, you sometimes pick like three or four golfers to bet on.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right. So let's, we're going to start with the Dodgers are at 9-2 to win the World Series next season.
Well, I wouldn't play them because that wouldn't go into what I like to do. I like to take the long shots. And you know what? It's got to be here. I'm glad the Dodgers won. Good for them. Good for Kershaw. Does it dismiss his demons? No. And plus, they wanted a 60-game series. Mm-hmm. So remember that, folks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't bet the Dodgers.
Okay. So let me...
They had trouble winning one in 30-some years. They're going to win back-to-back?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a great point. All right.
Remember the Cubs were going to win three or four?
Oh, yeah. What happened about that? Yankees, 13-2. 13-2 odds winning the World Series in 2021. Okay, I thought the same thing. Padres, 8-1 odds.
Like them.
Tampa Bay Rays.
That. That's a good bet.
Yeah, I think so, too. Tampa Bay Rays, 10-1 odds.
Yeah, redemption. Cash, redemption.
I love it. The Cash. Atlanta Braves, 12-1 odds.
No.
The Minnesota...
I love the Atlanta Braves, Nicky. You know, my kids, you got Freeman, you got all these, but no.
Okay. Minnesota Twins, 14-1 odds.
Depends who's the White Sox manager.
Oh, interesting.
I like the Twins, though.
All right. Well,
Twins are studs.
Yeah, they really are.
They came back. Look, Renteria's not here next year because they fizzled out. But I had a guy ask me the other day, why'd they get rid of Renteria? They turned around pretty good.
Yeah.
I go, you know. And he's seen as a the thing Reinsdorf, Jerry invented, point C to point B guy
right,
only.
Right, yeah. Right. I'll never forget that.
Where are the Cubs?
Well, they're below the next team on the list, which is the White Sox, 16-1 odds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right now, no, but I mean, if they pick up some pitching, you got to have some starters.
Yeah.
It can't be Giolito and Keuchel. Keuchel was starting to wear, and it was a 60-game season,
right.
You know?
Right.
But I wouldn't do them, but where are the Cubs at?
Okay, we're going to go down to the A's.
Grandpa Rossi.
All right, we got the A's at 16-1, the Indians at 20-1, the Astros at 22-1, and then the Cubs at 25-1.
Holy Christ. That's terrible.
Yep.
That's horrible. They're done. My God. Vegas usually favors them big, even when they stink.
Mm-hmm.
25-1. Man, I'd go with Cleveland at 20-1. The Sox division's a good division. There's not a lot of stud pitching, you know?
Right.
Cleveland gave all their good pitching away. That's why they ended up fizzling out.
Well, I like the idea of... Well, I was going to ask you this.
Yeah, you don't just pick one. You pick three or four teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try to pick a 20-1. You pick a 10-1. You know, you hope it hits. I mean, it's no fun to play the favorite, you know?
Right.
Especially if you're going to wait 6 months to get your ticket. I waited 6 months to win the Dodgers at 9-2. Come on.
Right.
Let's hope we're back by then for 6 months.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So a strategic question. So these odds are out early, obviously before managers are announced, before rosters are set, before catchers and pitchers have reported. So
you don't have to bet them. You can bet them right before the first game of the season.
Right, but do you maybe place low amount of money here just as a long shot
and to see if they do something?
Right,
a long shot, and who knows? I mean, you end up like last year. I know San Diego. I don't know what their odds were. It's higher than 8-1, but they made some pickups during the offseason. You jump on them.
Right.
They didn't get it, but they were good.
So it almost seems...
I like San Diego.
Yeah, I do too. So it almost seems to me that really what you're betting on now, if you're going to make a bet for who's going to win the World Series in 2021, you're making a bet on which team has the best general manager and is going to have the best offseason to supplement what they have, right?
Yeah, I think people will jump on the White Sox again. They're a public team. People like the young kids. But I think that they're going to be – I think they still got to prove to me they can pitch a whole season and play defense. They can hit. But if they go through – they're streak hitters. They go through 6 games where they're hitting the hell out of the ball, then they go for 4 games where they're not. So they got to pick up another pitcher. They should follow the Cup game plan of 215, 214, find an Arrieta, a Hendricks, a Lester, go out and get some pitchers. You got to go out and that's where the Grandel signing, folks, pissed me off last
year. Yep.
I have nothing against the kid, but now we can't sign McCann, maybe.
Right.
And he's going to leave. And then on top of that $77 million could have been used on a couple pitchers.
Oh, my gosh. Mike, if they would have signed McCann to a multi-year deal last year and then
invest to do
Right. It would have been such a much better bargain than signing this other guy, $75 million.
He can come on. I'm going to try to get him on the air, Reinsdorf, because I'm going to tell you something. He can deny this if he wants, but he won't, because I don't lie. I wouldn't lie to hurt him or to help him or to do anything. I wouldn't hurt Jerry, with a lie. Never would I do that to anybody. But he told me specifically. Mm-hmm. I said, we should sign McCann now. Oh, it's early yet. It's a 60-game season, right?
Yeah.
He's telling me after 10 games, when McCann was doing pretty decent.
Right.
And he did decent all year. It's early yet. Then what happens? He catches the no-hitter. Then they don't play him for three games. 340, didn't play him after catching a no-hitter. Didn't play him hitting 340, catches a no-hitter. Doesn't play for 3 days. Well, they were taking the bat out of his hands. Mm-hmm. And he still overcame it. And everybody in baseball respects the guy. And he's him and Grandel, and I don't know how Grandel is up for the finalists of the Rawlings Gold Glove. I know McCann is too, with some other guys. But you're letting go not only a talented defensive catcher, but a guy that gets timely hits.
Right.
If indeed the Sox should sign him anyway and bite the bullet, but Jerry said they didn't. Jerry didn't believe in him. I'm telling you,
that's sad.
It's early. It's, like he was going to fall on his face.
Yeah. Well, I am hoping that, you know, the White Sox have made some really good moves. There's no doubt about it. But they've also made some boneheaded moves, and so if they can, you know, hit a good batting average in terms of player acquisitions during the offseason, then, yeah, I like their chances of competing for the World Series.
You know who I'm not sold on? Moncada.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on him.
He needs to bring consistency.
We traded Chris Sale for him.
Mm.
Okay? I said for that to happen at the time. Now, Sale's been damaged goods, but they signed him anyway for big money. I said he'd have to hit 300 every year.
Absolutely.
And hit 30 homers. I don't see that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. I hope he does. Nothing against him. He's gone. Sale's gone. It's past history. But I just don't see it. I see better. I see Robert as a stud. I love Jimenez.
Mm-hmm.
I see those guys with bigger upside than Mancada.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask this about the Cubs at 25-1. What would you like to see them do in this offseason to say, you know, wow, I am glad I put $100 at 25-1 for the Cubs to win the World Series, because now they've done this, this, and this. Give me an idea of what you would like to see them do in a general way.
Players to play up to expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryant, wake your ass up. Rizzo, quit acting the class clown. I mean, Contreras, I thought he was going to be more effective. The pitching's in trouble. I mean, we got Darvish, we got Hendricks, we got Quintana, we still got things that can, I mean, 25-1, maybe you take a flyer on it.
Right.
I mean, they still did get into the playoffs, but I think everybody knew they weren't going to go far.
Yeah.
They
got
even though many people had the Cubs socks in the World Series. That was insane.
Yeah.
That was funny. We're so cute sometimes. Really. We really are. We think so much of ourselves, really. You know? We're the ones that come into the room going, I smell my cologne, but you got dog shit on your shoes. You know what I mean? Come on.
Mike, when we talk next week on the next Mike North Advantage, are the Chicago Bears going to be a winning team that we're talking about, a 6-2 team, or are they going to be a 5-3 team?
Let me tell you something. I went 2-0 last night. I bet Dodgers and I bet the under.
Nice.
But I could have bet the night before. I had a cool read on the Rams. I just couldn't do it. I said, you know what? I want the Bears to win.
Yeah.
So I cost myself money. But it doesn't matter. I want them to win that game. So I'm hoping they win.
Right.
I don't have to bet Bear games. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because this whole thing is an interesting deal about how they're going to get out of certain situations, how they're going to handle the team if they lose again. The quarterback room, what's that going to be like? Especially if Foles has a bad game.
Right.
We'll see. We'll find out. But I'm hoping they win.
There you go. All right, Mike North, it has been another sensational show. Howard Sudbury was great. If you're not following Howard on Twitter, it's Howard Sudbury. Follow him and check out his podcast. Mike North, I love you. You are the man.
I love you, brother. We had a good time. So long, everybody.